Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
John, thank you very much for that. Now, last week, Ruhama, the charity that offers support to women affected by prostitution and sex trafficking, revealed in their annual report that they supported 30% more women affected by prostitution and human trafficking for sexual exploitation last year than in the previous year. Former Tánaiste Minister for Justice Frances Fitzgerald is their new charity ambassador with Ruhama, and Frances joins us now. You're very welcome, Frances Fitzgerald, to the programme this evening. Before we get into the details of the work that you're going to be doing with Ruhama, some very sad news this evening with the passing of former Fianna Fáil TD and Cabinet Minister Mary O'Rourke. How will you remember her?
Well, I remember her very well. She was very supportive. I remember when I'd started in the Dáil, I was chairing it. You know, they have temporary chairs, and I was sitting there very early on, and she came up to me after I had done the piece of chairing and said, you know, very well done, Frances. She was very supportive of women in politics, always willing to go out and speak and engage and talk about the issue. Very feisty woman. Very outspoken. I mean, she went into a man's world in the Dáil. Actually, it's still only 22%, but even then it was tougher. I mean, she was a role model. Very energetic, always kept her voice, as I say. And my sincere sympathy to Fergal and Angus and the wider family. I think she was a terrific role model, generous. Didn't suffer any fools. And in her retirement, you probably remember, quite outrageous very often in her comments, and always willing to give an opinion. Very strong-willed, I would say, and very committed to politics, and of course came from a political family, and brought a lot to politics at the time. You certainly knew she was there, always willing to go out and speak and engage.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing those memories with us this evening, Frances. I want to move on to your new role as the Ruhama ambassador. Can you tell me firstly what the role will involve?
Well, Ruhama is a charity that's been there for a number of years, working with women who have been exploited, sexual exploitation, who've been trafficked, who are in prostitution in Ireland, who need huge support to try and find a way out of prostitution. Most of the women who come to Ruhama, they want emotional support. Then they need housing, they need exit routes, as I say, out of the dreadful situation that they are in. So I want to work with Ruhama to prevent this terrible violence against women. I've been working on violence against women over many years. I did the EU directive, the very first directive on violence against women in Europe. And I want to work with Barbara Conlon, who does such great work as a CEO, and Dean Carter, the chair, to prevent, in the first instance, this form of enslavement of women, because that's what it is, this form of exploitation. I want to make sure those women are protected. I want to increase public awareness about the scale of this issue in Ireland. Make sure that more professionals are trained to recognise the signs. There's very good evidence that one of the places that women who've been trafficked tend to turn up is in our health services, yet only about 1% are recognised. So a lot of work to do there. So, I mean, Ruhama also advocates, and I want to make sure the equality model is, you know, fully implemented in Ireland. So there's a lot of work to do in this area in Ireland.
Yeah, and also in Ireland there is an issue, isn't there, with the online sex trade and various websites that appear to be operating somewhat with impunity.
Well, they do. I mean, since we brought in the Equality Directive, of course, it's the person who purchases the sexual services who is criminalised. And it can be obviously difficult to prove for obvious reasons. And there is a huge online, advertising. So you have, at any one time, yesterday you had 800 women advertising these services online in Ireland, all around the country. There was a study done by another another great organisation that's doing research, the SERP, which is the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute. And they looked at the figures, and the locations were like, they were Dublin, Belfast, Cork, Limerick, Kildare, Galway, Westmeath, Louth, Waterford. I mean, an interesting a small statistic I give you, Sarah, is that, you know, when the ploughing championships were on, the week before it, there were 4 women advertised. And on the week that it was actually on, there was 104 in counties within a 30 kilometre radius. Now, that just gives you a tiny indication. And it's mostly Irish men who are buying those services.
So what is happening there then that is not being tackled? If it's so open and there for everyone to see, it must be there for the Gardaí to see as well. Is it because the advertising of online sexual services online is not illegal, therefore they can't tackle
it? No, that's not the issue. I mean, the actual issue is much more about proof. It's about the very sophisticated criminal gangs. Remember, for example, in America, these criminal gangs make $235 billion every year from this trade. This is produces a lot of profits. It's complicated to interrupt it. The guards, you know, actually are doing, you know, they're really working very hard on this. They've only over 300 people working, over 300 Gardaí working in domestic and gender-based violence. They recently held a really good conference on human trafficking. They have more cases in the pipeline. A lot of them come under the, the criminal investigation unit, you know, where, you know, the gangland unit, as opposed to trafficking as such, because they end up dealing with the money laundering aspects. So I think you have to follow the money here as well. It's a very secretive, it's kind of hidden in plain sight. And I think one of the things Ruhama wants to do, and I'd like to see, is greater public awareness. So if you see women who you get a feeling about them being exploited, you see them in wherever, a hospital setting, you see, you know, an apartment where there's, you know, a lot of people, a lot of different women there at different times, men queuing up, I mean, pop-up brothels, I mean, report your suspicions to the Gardaí.
And this is happening all over Ireland. This is happening. Rural towns everywhere.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've been speaking to the Gardaí in detail about this. I've been speaking, you know, to the staff of Ruhama, to the women. I've spoken to the women who have come to them for help, who are generally very frightened and isolated. Most of the women involved in this trade actually don't believe that they will get help or that they'll be believed, because the stories are so incredible. I mean, you've women who've been trafficked into Ireland from Africa, you know, from Brazil, from Colombia, from all over the world. I can understand why you ask the question, you know, why isn't it sort of, if you like, more public? Why isn't there more interruption of it? Mm. There is a lot of work being done by a whole variety of partners, as I say, including the Gardaí, NGOs. We need more statistics. We need to get the research. It's notoriously difficult. I mean, we have probably up to 1,000 women advertising these sexual services for sale in Ireland. But then you have an organisation like Work Free saying there could be 5,000 women in Ireland. Okay. Now, those figures are disputed. So, as I say, hidden in plain sight, one of the criminal activities of our time, all over Europe, and the most vulnerable of women being brought in, exploited, being dealt with very violently, not having any access, you know, to passports, to money, really hardly know where they are, some not speaking the language. So very difficult. It takes going to take a very concerted effort and probably even stronger legislation to begin to interrupt it as much as we need to interrupt it.
I want to ask you on a separate issue, Francis. You were out canvassing in Castleknock with the Taoiseach earlier. What was your sense? Mood for an election?
Well, certainly amongst the journalists, as the Taoiseach keeps saying, I think your own reporter, Paul Cunningham, dealt with it. Gave us good a reply when I heard him earlier today saying, you know, watch the timeline of the two pieces of legislation, the finance bill and the social welfare bill. But I have to say he got a great reaction, as he is getting all over the country, got a great reaction today and got compliments about the budget as well, despite
some of the
concerns. Would he be mad to wait
until after Christmas?
Well, now, who am I to say that the Taoiseach would be mad to wait, Sarah? Okay. I don't think he knows himself at this stage. And of course, it's going to be in discussion with the other two leaders as well.
And just finally, one of the big issues, as an unusual one, I suppose, from this budget, it's always the little things, really, is the phone pouches issue. We've discussed it on the show today and yesterday. What do you think? That's a waste of money? Is that something they should reconsider?
Well, I'll put it to you like this. I can understand why the minister decided to go down that route, you know, because it is what other countries have done. You want to have a standardised approach in the schools too. You don't want young people using the phones during school time. You want them put safely away and locked, unlocked at the end of the day. I kind of understand where it came from, but I think the cost has surprised people. And it may be that a much more graduated approach is needed, and maybe look at some other methods as well. Because when you look at the overall amount, it does, in the context of the overall education budget, it's a small amount. But when you take it separately, you know, it is a large amount of money. And we've had a lot of people on from the education sector saying, you know, how else it could be used and could contribute to various supports for schools. And I understand that. So, okay. I mean, I think it's likely to be.
All right, Francis Fitzgerald. Oh, you think it's likely to be? Did someone suggest that to you?
No, not at all.
No. Okay. All right.
No secret. Right, we'll no secrets there. Just my own view, Sarah. That you know,
no
this
problem.
Often happens in a budget that you see some things and then, you know, you take a look at it again and maybe
right.
You know, maybe there might be a more, as I say, a graduated approach to it.
Francis Fitzgerald, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. We'll take a break.